Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Maura J. Simmons' newly released Where Are God's Things from Christian Faith Publishing is an engaging children's book that explores key elements of faith, that encourages young readers to learn about God's creations through interactive exploration and engagement, a helpful resource for encouraging young minds to learn about God. Maura is a dedicated wife, mother, and grandmother, and now published author. Maura J. Simmons, author of the charming and interactive children's book, Where Are God's Things?, our guest on This Week in America. Maura, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's such an honor to be here with you on this show.
Thank you. It is our pleasure. I love what you've done with this book. And what's it like hearing yourself referred to as a published author? That has to be fun to hear yourself.
Very, very. Yes. It's something, because I wasn't a very big reader growing up. And my mom, of course, regrets, you know, not forcing me to do that. But then this became something when I had grandchildren. So to be an author, it's a strange new world.
Well, we'll talk about the process and where this all began. In fact, let's talk about the inspiration. I love where this idea came from, how it developed. Talk about Where Are God's Things, where this whole idea came from.
All right. Well, I live in Idaho, so we're around mountains and trees. And I like to draw. You know, I don't think I'm really good at it, but who does, right? And then I've had three older children, but our fourth one came to live with us. So as a baby with our daughter. And so we kind of raised him and helped raise him. So we were reading to him all the time at nighttime. And when I would be reading his books at night in bed, he would always point, to different things. Or I would ask him, let's say, where's Donald Duck? Or where's Mickey Mouse? Or, where's, whatever we were reading. A lot of the, superheroes and things like that.
Yes.
So then he was probably like two, I was just drawing, and I started drawing a mountain, and I started drawing some trees. And I asked him, so where's the mountain? And he would point. And where are the trees? And he would point. So from that is how this came out. I started drawing, and then he would, as he was older to talk, he would say, well, I, draw, he calls me something I can't even pronounce myself, so I'll just say grandma, even though he doesn't call me that. how kids create their own names for
exactly,
you.
Yes.
So I just started drawing little things, and then, I start praying more, and God says, well, teach them their shapes. Well, of course, all kids need to learn their shapes, right? Teach them their colors. All kids need to learn their colors because God created colors. God created the geometrical shapes. So it's not just the scenery. And I had other pieces in that just didn't make, like the Earth and the solar system, but that wasn't the way I wanted to go. It got too complicated. Like you said, simplicity was better.
Yes.
So this book is very simple. Matter of fact, I have three of my kids here. Jackson's one of them. But I have Ember and Callan here, and Callan's four. Well, he loved it. He was like pointing right to everything, all the time when I was reading it to him. So now I have eight grandchildren, and but Callan's the youngest at four, so he's still enjoying it at his age. And so is our six-year-old here. She really liked it too.
That's amazing. And I'm sure Jackson is as well a little older now than when he first was there. And he is sort of the impetus for the book, Where Are God's Things?, the delightful children's book by Maura Simmons, our guest on the program. Her website is authormaurajsimmons.com. That's S-I-M-M-O-N-S. We've got a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and we'll give you that throughout the program to get information on Maura and get information on the book and be able to buy it there as well. It's interesting because this is interactive. So often when we have a book with kids that we share with kids, it's a passive experience for them. You just sort of read and they just sort of listen. Talk about the joy it is in dealing with a young person when they're involved. They're pointing to things. They're talking with you. You've got this discussion as you're pointing out things. That has to be a joy in being able to share this story with a young person.
Well, it really was. And he talked later in life, like like three, and so does our younger one. You know, he wasn't forming words exactly at 18 months like some of my other grandchildren were. And, you know, a lot of kids, they're all different ages when they start really developing their words. So if you're pointing to a tree, you know, and they say free, right? Sometimes they can't say the T, but they'll put an F in there. So you can really practice when they're pointing to the trees and speaking the trees. So you're teaching them and they're sitting on your lap or they're sitting next to you. And I started with parents, but you have grandparents, you have aunts and uncles, but you also would have maybe a librarian, you know, or another adult in a daycare center. So I kind of made it so it wasn't just parents or grandparents. I tried to make it because I would take Jackson to the library and, you know, they would have story time, but they could not get up there and point to things on the book.
Yes.
So this was kind of important to teach the kids how to speak the words, hear them, see them, and then react with their fingers or their, you know, whatever their motions are.
Talk about that special connection that you have with the child that's reading the book, Jackson and the Case When This Began, and the other grandkids as well, and people experience with their own kids and grandkids by reading with them, and the interaction part of it with Where Are God's Things. There really develops a connection, isn't it? It's more than just words you're listening and they're absorbing. You're actually making them part of the whole process.
You are making it part of the whole process. And you're, for one thing, of course, you're teaching them where God's things are. God created these things. That was the first and most important thing. I wanted them to know that God, our Father, was the creator, and he made these mountains. He made these rocks. You know, he made, you know, the big tree, and he made it green and brown for a reason. So I wanted them to know that first, but the connection is even to this day, you know, Jackson's 12 now, and I have another 12-year-old, I have a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old. Now I did not get to read this book to the older ones, but my younger ones I have. So the connection is still, you know, they will still ask me things about things in the book.
Or yes.
The connection is, of course, with, you know, the Father and the Holy Spirit, but then just the alone time, you know, the snuggle time, you know, it's a lot about reading, but it's also the time you spend, you put down everything else, you put down your phone, you put down everything else, you turn the TV off, and you're just there with them. And it may be 15 minutes, it may be a half hour, you know, but it takes, if you read it slow and you let them participate, it'll take you a good 15 minutes, which isn't very long, but to spend 15 minutes with a child on your lap, you can't go wrong with that at all.
No, that's priceless. There, you cannot put a price tag on that. The book is Where Are God's Things by Maura Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S, Maura, author, maurajsimmons.com is the website. Information, you can order the book there as well. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. What age group specifically is this designed for? You mentioned before your grandchildren, the different ages. Who was this designed for as you were working on this from a marketing standpoint?
It was designed for probably a year old, I would say, because, man, these kids are smart. You know, they are smart children. I know parents are, you know, you get wrapped up in it, but, you know, and grandparents, of course, every grandparent out there will probably attest to this. They're smart, great kids. So 1 year olds, I mean, even younger, you know, depending on where they are at, but you can read to them at one and they can start pointing and you can take their finger and point to it. So they recognize their eyes, their ears. So they're getting all their senses involved, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
You know, they get to explore their own bodies and their own senses and participate. So 1 year old to, I would say, three at first, but no, my 4 year old loves it. And I have two 6 year olds. So I have a 4 year old, two 6 year olds. I have a 9 year old. You know, Caleb would sit down, who's nine. He would sit down there and read it, even though, of course, he knows everything. But he would like to, you know, he would enjoy it just because it's fun. You know, it's fun to point to something on the, it gives them a sense of satisfaction that's like, hey, I know where that is, you know, or I can find that hidden thing. You know, I can find that little hidden squirrel, or I can find that little hidden swing. You know, so even at 9 years old, you know, and Jackson liked it too, you know, at 12, he liked me reading it to him.
Well,
so, but the words also made a difference.
Well, and that's interesting, and I wanted to talk about that. I'll come back to that in a second, is the text. Okay. They're going back and getting it refined. So these are words that children would understand and respond to. There's that that connection at the time, the fact that they're able to point and to discuss. And I would think Jackson now, sometimes because of the lessons he learned with this, he's out and he sees a beautiful sunrise, and he's thinking, thank you, God, nice job today. This really looked good. It does give you an appreciation that you carry with you through the rest of your life that, and maybe some of us just take for granted every day.
Oh, yes, when I, off the subject a little bit, but like I said, I live in Idaho, and we have some beautiful sunsets. Now, you will see a few people pull over and stop and take pictures, but then everybody else just passes them by, and you're thinking, how can you not stop and take a picture of this?
Exactly.
So you are correct on that, yes.
You know,
yes,
it's interesting, definitely. We go through life like that, and somebody had the expression once, just to look up, and it's amazing what you can see. Looking up, we're fortunate we live by the water, by a river,
yes.
And then the ocean there. And we walk it every morning, and you see dolphins, you see birds, you see manatees. And so many people are walking, looking down, and they never see anything that's out there. It's a real source of exploration every day as we do that. And you teach that in Where Are God's Things, to be appreciative, to recognize and to be appreciative. You mentioned this was sort of God-inspired, too. Talk about that, the message you had from someone who thought this would be a good idea to turn this into a book.
Right. So, yeah, the God-inspired was, turn it into a book. And I thought, are you kidding me? I don't read, I don't write, I don't, but then you hear the word I again. So I had to hear it. I mean, I heard all of this. Now, I like rhyming things anyway, and the kids like rhyming things. So that's where, it started with, with the first pages, God created. And then, in the beginning. Oh, so I went to the Bible, of course, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So I took some of the scriptures, and then when it got complicated, for him to, even say Jackson, to understand some of that, that's when I started changing it to what the pictures say. So then I would get stuck, but then the rhyming came and I could just hear, the Holy Spirit would speak to me, on the colors, your mommy is pretty as a queen. I bet her favorite color could be green. Because my daughter's eyes are green, my eyes are green, and my granddaughter's eyes are green. So that's kind of where that all came. So it is a family, it's a family thing. Those type of things came from, different parts of our family.
You talked about that before, and I wanted to go back to that. It's so important. Sometimes you have great ideas for a book, and then when you write them down, you go back, and it's like, well, I'm not sure they're going to understand that. This is going to be somebody that's 5 or 6 years old, and I'm writing this at the level of a high school senior. How challenging was that? And to maybe have to go back and rework some of this. And then when you're doing it in a rhyming scheme, that even makes it more challenging, I would think.
Well, right. So like I said, Jackson was 2, 3, and 4 years old. Well, he was a baby up to probably 4 years old before his mom, met her husband now. And now he's 12. So it took me that long to write it. I mean, I started writing and then I put it down because I thought, no, I'm not going to write a book. Lord, what are you, crazy? but then he started picking it up. But I would ask him. So he would actually, even as he got older, sit down with me and I would read it out. He'd go, no, that doesn't sound right. Or, he would give me different words or different things. So he did help along the way because Ember didn't come along till, well, she's 6. So, but Jackson actually was close to us the whole time, but I would read different pages of it. And then when I didn't see him, I just, you just shuffle it around, but he would say, no, that's not right. Or yes, I like that. So he helped even through that part.
That's nice to have.
God would help with that.
And a young editor to help along the way, too, to sort of refine the story as you're telling it. And then you get illustrations. Talk about that, because that really enhances the message in the text.
Those illustrations, I tell you what. Like I said, I like to draw. I'm not I don't think I'm good at it. I mean, you see people just who are professional drawers and sketchers and all that. And I've had numerous ones. Well, then crunch time came because I could change it up. I have like, probably five or six different first pages. And I like some from that page and some from this page. But then the colors on the balloons, that was something for children, right? How many
Yes.
kids don't like a balloon? So you can learn your colors through flashcards, but that's not as fun as seeing a balloon fly away. I
Yes.
didn't think anyway. So, and then the animals, like I said, we live, in Idaho, so we have farm animals on we don't have them, but other people have farm animals. And then, of course, the guy says, he created the sea, so he made a place for them to swim. So what are some of the main creatures in the water that kids know? You're not going to go, well, actually, my kids didn't know about the jellyfish. Ember didn't know about the jellyfish, so that was fun
Yes.
just now. So I learned something. Not every child knows all these things. So,
How did you
and
get?
they,
Yeah,
go ahead.
I love it because the illustrations are so important in a book and really enhance the story that you're telling. How did you get from, okay, God, I'm going to go ahead and write the book, to actually then, okay, the next big step is, okay, now what? What was the process like from the time you finished the book to the decision to publish it and then getting started in the business part of creating this book?
Because he made me. Because if you don't obey God, when God tells you to do something, and I watch enough of our ministers and prophets to know it, when God tells you something, if you don't do it, you'll either find somebody else or you're not going to go to the next step. And you have to take baby steps. Now, the first chunk I let go aside, right? I let because of the money. But the next step, when he said, I want this done and I want it done now. Well, you can't let go. When God tells you to do something, you can't let go of that. So I would struggle, but then if you're following the step by step, what he's telling you, he's going to give you the information. So he gave me the information. He gave me the money to, have it published. And to me, it was like, oh my gosh. But when he tells you to do something, you follow through and then see what doors open. You are the biggest open door. I mean, it was published, and next thing I know, you guys called. And I thought, well, that had to have been from the Lord. It has to be because I wouldn't have known. So if you trust God with little things, he's going to open the doors for you. And but you have to be obedient. You have to be obedient.
We're
And
so.
even though it might seem a struggle, just take your little steps. Take one step at a time. Draw a page, draw the words. Draw the second page, draw the second words. Next thing you have, 10 pages. Make your phone calls, follow up with them. Call your publish,
Yes.
call this publishing. And when they say yes, go, oh wow, okay. Let's go.
I love the advice. It's good for all of us and applies. Take
Yeah.
little steps. So often we have a project and we're thinking about the end. Your project is writing a book. Well, it's been 3 hours. I'm not done yet. So you get
Oh,
frustrated. Take it in baby steps. And we all need to do that. And we're so delighted that we could be part of getting the message out there about Where Are God's Things? The book available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Google. The book available at Maura's website, you can link on directly, author MauraJSimmons.com. We'll give you that as we go through the interview here today. Is this the first of many books that you see yourself writing? What is God instructing you to do next?
so in the middle of this, well, actually, I think it was already published. My husband had to have a bone marrow transplant. So the last 4 years or 3 years, we've been, well, we dealt with that, but I mean, he's better now.
Good.
But during that time, we really had to turn in to the Lord, of course. And one night, I was back in the room. I was at the guest house, and he was in the hospital. Because he was in the hospital from Thanksgiving through January of, I don't know, 2022 and 2023, I think it was. And I woke up in the middle of the night. Well, the nurses would come in and tell us all the bad things. Well, you're going to have this, you're going to react to this, you're going to have this in 4 to 14 days, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is bad things going to happen. I'm just like, lady, stop. And what the Lord told us is don't let them bring their tomorrows into your today. Because my
Ah, yes.
tomorrow is sin-free and illness-free It's a free tomorrow because the Lord has made it perfect. It's a perfect tomorrow. That's what I'm trying to say. So we would tell the nurses, don't do that. Don't speak those words into our today. We're going to deal with today today.
Yes.
Well, when I woke up at 3, the Lord said, there's miracles in the midst. Well, I had been talking to a friend of mine about Daniel in the fiery furnace and how 4 people came out. There was a miracle in the midst. So he woke up. I woke up and he had me draw this picture.
Oh,
I don't know if you
yes.
can see it, but there's 4.
Yes.
Right? So there's the fiery, there's a fire, but that's the vision he gave me. He gave me a vision to draw that. And so I drew that out and I hope you can't hear that. I've got the kids out there at the door.
That sounds good to hear the young voices. Excited.
Okay, they're all playing out there because they know I'm in here. It's like, don't come in here. so anyway, there's miracles in the midst. And he whispered that to me. So I drew that and I took that to my husband. I said, honey, look what God gave me. There's miracles in the midst. So when they tell us you're going to have this stuff happen from, 4 to 14 days, it's like, no, there's miracles in the midst of the sickness. There's miracles yes. in the midst of your troubles. There's miracles in the trying times. Trust those miracles. And he didn't have hardly any of the symptoms that they said that he was going to have.
Amazing.
So now he wants me to put that on shirts or, make nice shirts, not just t-shirts or hats or water bottles.
Yes.
He wants me to create something, but then I don't know where to go with that. So it's like, okay. So now I have to do some research. It's like, well, who makes these things? I don't know. I don't know where to go next with that, but he's been bugging me with that for a year.
Well, baby steps, one step at a time, and we'll get you there to the successful conclusion of that and getting that message out there. And I'm so glad to hear that your husband is doing well. The book is doing remarkably well. Where are God's things? This is a book as we approach the holidays, as you approach a child's birthday during the course of the year. It's a great gift idea. It's a book that will not be just read once and put it back on the shelf and it will stay there.
Right.
You'll be interacting with this. You'll pass it down to other children. It's great for a gift for children in the family, somebody special. It really is well done. Where are God's things? Maura Simmons, that's Maura Simmons, Simmons, our guest is the author. Her website, simply author, maurajsimmons.com. Book available at the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Google, and a link on our website. It's been a pleasure having you on here. What has this been like to be finished with this and to have the book out there and to be able to get the response from family members and people you don't even know that are buying the books and sharing the story, sharing the way they're telling the story with children all across the world? What's this been like?
It is so exciting. And my whole, when I started this, one of the biggest hard things is to get it out by Christmas,
yes.
whichever Christmas it was. Right. Because I wanted, people read Twas the Night Before Christmas. Right.
Yes.
And they read that to their families all the time. I would like this to be something along that line when the families get together, even here at Thanksgiving, right. The families get together and all the kids have to go to bed at some time, but if they have more than one grandchildren or child, they can sit up in their bed and, let all 4 kids or let all however many kids are in the bed with you, point and, play. They can play before they go to bed, but then they can all say a prayer before they go to bed too. They can do this before Christmas. So I have 4 birthdays, 3 grandchildren's birthdays in December. So to get this to them before, Christmas would be fun. But yes, that was my heart's desire, was to get this book out before the holidays so they can snuggle, because winter and Christmas seems to be an extra snuggle time, because when it's hot,
no snuggling tonight. Nope. We'll put that off till November and December.
Especially in Florida where you are, right?
Well, yes, exactly. So November, December, that is a good time to do that. And people can enjoy the books, and it's now available. And I'd like to thank King Pages Press, the author's marketing consultant, yes. Results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves. And I thank them, kingpagespress.com, for arranging our conversation. Look forward to staying in touch and doing it again on future projects. It's been a pleasure. It sounds like the grandkids are waiting for Grandma to do some more reading to them during the course of the vacation.
They're like knocking at the door. And they're all kinds of things out there.
They're ready for a little interactive reading with Grandma today. This book is Where Are God's Things? You'll find it wherever books are sold. Maura, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Rick, it has been such an honor, and I'm very excited. I thought I'd be nervous, but you have made it so wonderful. You are just a great host.
Well, I love the story. I love your enthusiasm. I love the faith that's got you through so many circumstances in life and gotten you through this. And go enjoy the vacation time as we're doing this over Thanksgiving with the grandkids. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you. All right, Rick, thank you so much.
Take Bye-bye. Care. Maura Simmons, our guest on the program, author Maura J. Simmons, is her website. All the information and so much more on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program, right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.